What's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire. It's six in the dang morning, and we're podcasting for the community for free. Here are my squad. Justin, how are you doing this lovely, lovely morning?
I got back from Les Miserables at 1:15 last night, this morning,
long
this
show.
Same day.
Jean Valjean.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a future pod where we cast as musicals. We can talk about them in a musical style.
Nice.
Ooh, that'd be hot.
Let's go. And fresh off his dominating appearance on on Late Night Gaming, it's KTOD Maddie.
Yeah, I am. Spoiler alert, I'm undefeated in webcam games, and I hope to keep it that way. I had a great time. And yeah, today's going to be a tough one. I took Mike's advice. I didn't stay up too late like a good boy. So I'm feeling all right, but I have a long day ahead.
I had to jump in the chat and tell them to let you go early.
Yeah.
In case they started giving you crap.
Yeah. I you know, it's what really gets me in trouble. Like, if we were having a couple drinks, then I would have been like, oh, yeah, like, let's stay up. But I didn't have any beers, so I kept my wits about me, and I got out.
Yeah, I was worried they were going to start buying you shots, like drone them in, and then it would have been all over. You wouldn't have got home at all. You'd still be out.
It would have been like the Gen Con meetup.
Indianapolis, guys. Like,
I was going to say it.
Yeah. I was thinking about that yesterday, actually, when the comment, oh, you don't need to buy booze for the Airbnb. I'm not going to drink much on the trip.
Yeah, that should be a t-shirt, actually.
Oh, we should get that meme. Yes.
Yeah, we should get that t-shirt. And then Stevie gets down there chasing my sick plat one rank in TFT while we pod.
Yeah, just wrapping up early morning grind, you know. It's 6 a.m., baby. I've been up for 2 hours. We got to get this cracking.
I know, you're nuts.
No caffeine either. I am just like strictly on energy right now.
Just vibing with TFT.
Vibing.
Yeah, it's just pre-workout.
Yeah.
No, pre-workout's after the pod because I don't want to take it too early before I go to the gym.
You'll scare everyone off.
All right. Well, I realize now I never changed the list on this slide while we're talking about
today. I just realized that. I said, wait, Gen Con's coming up. I can't wait to go.
All right, hold on.
Let's go. Relive it.
Actually, that's fine. Who cares? The people listening, we don't have to go talk about it. But today we're going to talk about the meta and, I don't know, just Patreon questions, our giveaway, which I hope you guys figured out. And, yeah, let's just jump right into it. First thing we're talking about today is Maddie launched his own YouTube channel to do more swoo content. Why don't you talk about that for a minute, Matt?
Yeah, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of like I have all these, you know, I'm like driving in the car, shower thoughts, and I kind of just want to like get them out somewhere and like, you know, interact with people in a new way. So I wanted to launch another channel where it's like a lot more just like, you know, less production, more, you know, more just the Maddie you all know and love, talking head videos, kind of some fun content around, you know, the stuff that maybe like wouldn't rise to the level that we would do here. Not that we're the most, you know, production quality. Yeah, we do good. But yeah, so it's just like a way to have another access to me and just kind of riff and have a good time and see me as Bill Belichick.
You could also like see yourself as LeBron. Like KTOD Maddie is taking his talents to KTOD Maddie.
Yeah. Yeah. You could like really jump into a persona of like, I'm becoming these people with each one.
That'd be pretty good. I'll have Symbiote put my face. Every thumbnail has to be Sim putting my head on something. I
think. Yeah, like there's so many. There's LeBron. You could do the Will Smith Fresh Prince like empty house like last episode where like the KTOD house. You're just like walking out.
You could also do the Uncle Phil when he like walks in from all the different rooms after when he's mad, he like leaves, but then he comes in another room. That's still always like one of my favorites.
Oh my God. There's so much that we could do.
And another thing, you could definitely do that with some fun editing. And you have like a house where like you have a bunch of entrances and exits in the main room. So you could definitely pull that
you
off.
Could do the, Zach Morris hugging, the girl when she's got like the medication addiction and Maddie could be like, addiction. I'm making so many YouTubes.
The girl.
Oh, is that your crush? What's the curly hair? She's in the
Girl, what was her,
Elizabeth Berkley?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, Elizabeth Berkley. Yeah.
Oh, what the hell's her name in the show?
That's well like a famous episode. I mean, yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah,
for sure. Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah. Jesse.
Yep. Watched Saved by the Bell like 8,000 times. All right, I have a serious question though. Why? Yeah. Like, what? I know you've read a lot about like YouTubing and stuff. What made you do this as a YouTube channel and not like a KTOD social media account where you could like just do Instagram reels or TikToks or whatever?
I'm not very high on Instagram and I don't know how to use TikTok, but like I think YouTube, and I'm a little biased, is like the best social media that you can be doing. And I think it's fun. So like I wanted to be doing it in that regard because like, I mean, they're not like they're 10, like that video is like 10, 12 minutes. Like it's hard for me to even edit myself down to do a YouTube short, right? So I thought the kind of content that I want to do, I think it made most sense on YouTube. It's a good way for people to like stay integrated to like our channel as well. Like I think that there's going to be a lot of back and forth there. So I thought YouTube was like the best way to do it. Plus I love
for,
it.
When's the for only those
fans coming out?
The OnlyFans shows becoming interesting. Instagram is certainly listening to me.
I love that.
Right there.
But yeah, I'm pretty proud of that video. I had like, I was doing a video that's going to pop on our channel, the deck selection one. And that's when it kind of dawned on me, like I wanted to do more of this stuff. And like, there's just not going to be enough time to release it on the KTOD page itself. So yeah, wanted to kind of give some more access to your old Maddie.
Sweet. And then as we announced on our last podcast, the post Gen Con podcast, we do have this insane swag bag with a super rare mat, the content creator mats, proving to be, you know, some of the hardest to get as a quest to try and get a Knit Binds All Things mat. I did find someone to who agreed to sell it, but then hasn't returned my DM. So I'm hoping today we can get that sorted out. But we're going to give this, it's six packs of sleeves, all six yep. sleeves from the set two run. And I love the colors, the yellow and green on the lightsaber sleeves. The soft crate, yep. And then the tote bag, because why not? And then the armorer mat, which Maddie has hanging there. And so the way we're going to do this is on September 1st, I'm going to put every single one of our paid subscribers into the random name generator, the wheel of names, and we're going to pick one. Yep. It needs to be something I can generate through Excel because it's going to be a ton of people, and that's it. But I had to type out 1,000 names or whatever. But
thanks.
Go ahead, Justin.
And sorry to other content creators, you guys are exempt from this. We will not be including you, so you can get a second mat to eBay. I'm keeping all my stuff, and I'm super excited to give this one out. We actually were given an extra one, if you remember from last pod. This is the mat that I'll be playing with. At all the events this fall. Like, I think this mat really, really pops.
Yeah, the mat's sick. I played with it at Gen Con on Sunday.
So insane.
And it was sick. But I wasn't going to mention this, but I got so excited when I came. But these guys know I've been doing a little side quest for the mats. And this is going to be my... This might be my forever mat.
Dude.
This mat is so crazy.
That's insane.
I can't believe I was able to find. Shout out to Bud Heavy in the Discord who got that for me. What a baller! I also got this one, which is
that's
hot.
A tall
one.
That one's sick.
Yeah,
Bad Batch.
They used to be 20 pounds ago. That was my drink of choice.
Oh, that one's sick too.
Heroic. Yeah, that one. That's one of my favorite. I still love the.
Well, you guys can use these anytime you want.
The Maximum Fire one's unreal.
Which one do you still need, Mike?
I still need the Overwhelming Barrage, which we only know of like three in existence, but I've got a couple leads. That's the one where I'm going to have to sell a kidney. And then, of course, the Finalizer. But the It Binds one, I think I'm going to be able to get after thinking I might not be able to. So, this one's just so
awesome. Hey, friends over at FFG and Asmodee, if you're watching... DM Mike, help him DM. Get an overwhelming
group. Yeah, I might hit up. Yeah, I don't want to say my strategies because it's going to be heavily sought after. So, but yeah, so if you if you want to become a and honestly, if you've ever been thinking about, hey, let me let me check out the KTUD Discord. You know, you think of it as like a $5 raffle ticket to get this. There's 1,000 people in there. There's probably like 300 of them are content creators, so you don't have to worry about that. And then, yeah, take the shot. And if you don't like it, you can.
You ain't going to be going anywhere.
You can leave if you don't like it.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Where did they release the maximum firepower?
TwitchCon.
Jesus.
Yeah. And no events. It was just like, it was sort of like San Diego Comic-Con with the, probably with the choose sides mat. It's just like show up, play a dev, and get a mat. And that one, the choose sides one you had to pay for. The TwitchCon one, who knows? We like, I haven't found any details about how they got that. So
it's going to be fun to
say. Oh, you go, Justin.
It's just going to be fun to see your continued chronicles in this. Like, getting these ones, but then like if there's another one, there's like two mats. If like Worlds is like a mat, like are you gonna go after that one? I mean, you can win it, you know, outright. But
yeah, that's
are you
the
gonna
thing,
go like, after these things? Is the quest going to continue to get like a Count Dooku mat in the future or whatever it comes out?
Yeah, that'll be tough, especially if they do with Destiny. They did the winner of Worlds got a unique mat. So like. Wow.
That should probably be the easiest one for you to acquire.
Well, ooh, the year I lost in the semifinals was like Sabine holding the Darksaber. And I was playing Sabine, and it was like, it was so close.
Your grasp.
Yeah, Ed Chen, wow. the legend.
I was just going to say, the unsung hero of that pack is getting so many, like, not sponsored, but like the GameGenic sleeves are so insane.
I love them. They're so smooth.
I was using the crappy ones that I bought for streaming.
No glare. Yeah.
But like the shuffling on these sleeves is insane. Like I never feel like I'm worried about breaking a card.
And I don't know if you tried them. I don't know if the Star Wars GameGenic ones are, but the GameGenic also makes a non-glare sleeve and they feel as good as these. Right, and so they're really nice. Yeah. I have a pack if you want, cause I got them for streaming. If you want to try them out.
Yeah, I'll try.
And here I gave my sleeves to everybody's kids.
Yeah, I've been giving my sleeves out too. I still have a pack of yellows.
It's like, what am I going to do with these?
But you know,
I got a whole stack.
I also have thousands of sapphire dragon sleeves, dragon shields, so I'm never getting off those anyway.
Oh, real quick, Justin, I was supposed to give you some sleeves, and I think I never did. So I have like a million pairs.
Oh, I don't need them anymore. Steve gave me all his, and I think like grabbed another stack too. I literally have just infinite.
All right. Well, if you end up playing like Kylo and you want more Kylo sleeves, we can trade or something.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the meta. We had a couple big events this weekend, the weekend of August 17th. I guess it's still that weekend. There's probably some events today, too. And the biggest one that we saw was the 60-person tournament in Poland. And the meta breakdown is on this slide. There were 11 Sabine Greens, 7 Kira Greens, 5 Hantu blues and 4 Boba yellows. Those are like the big meta players right now. You know, I think Maddie did a video and maybe like 16 other content creators did Hantu blue videos this week. And then we're seeing the rise in that deck. It's very good. I played Maddie's version on Tuesday and had a really good run at my locals. Felt really good. I think I only dropped like one game to a Sabine.
Yeah, you played the Force Bros version.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah, I played
another
Gray
version
over
did
Poe.
Well. Spoiler at
were there only two?
Yeah,
there were only two Hantu greens.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah, there were only two Hantu greens, and you're good. And they finished first and second, which is crazy.
Only one red Ray. We're really seeing like people just move off that deck, which I think is kind of. I think it's like over. I think it's better than people are giving it credit for. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I understand why, though. It doesn't beat Sabine, and the Han can beat Sabine. So, like, that's the big issue for me. It's like, there were 11 Sabines here. So,
yeah,
you're going to go play a deck that just loses to Sabine? You can't. Sabine's going to dominate, our decisions for as long as she's in the meta, or the long as she's, like, in rotation or whatever.
Do you think that it's just the way the list ran? Because, like, I feel like when it had, like, main deck Moisture Farmers, and, like, you have Tarkin Town to, like, counter the ECL play. Like, is there, like, a 60 that you can have? Or is it just doesn't – it it's not worth it. Because, like, the Tarkentown is, I know it's less health, but that's usually a pretty good way to combat those, like, you know, Wrecker Poe ECLs.
I don't know. I was going to play Ray at Gen Con, and I jammed games all morning, and I couldn't win a single one, and I had main deck and Waster Farmers.
Okay.
I'll say this. Even with the blue Ray that I've been playing, which I'd say is probably even more favored than red blue Ray versus Sabine, playing the 30 point base is almost like a non-starter. Like anything at 25, it just feels like you're never going to get there against Sabine, at least from the Ray perspective. And I feel like the blue version has more healing and more of a mid-rangey like rock type deck. But I played a few games with the 25 point base, and like you just get burned on the last turn of the game, or
you just never get into a safe spot.
Yeah.
And with Ray Blue, you get your vigilances online turn three, which makes it like even a little safer, and it's still not safe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, the big story of this event will be that, as Steve caught, there's only two people played the Han Green. The Hantu Green, and both of them made the top cut, and then they finished first and second. Same list. They were friends. I wasn't able to get the list this morning before we potted. I didn't have a lot of time to search. So
if we get it before then, we can link it or something.
Yeah, if you guys are scouring Discord while we do it, that's we can probably get it up there. There's no doubt. So like I think, you know, there were seven Kiras. Two of them converted. I think Kira will still be a big player in the meta for sure. It's like the best blue-green control in my opinion. But like Han 2 is certainly in multiple versions is on the rise. And like someone played a yellow version here. And then anytime a list goes 1-2 at an event, a big event, and like for this game, 60's big, people are just going to play it. I mean, look at all the Han blue in just a week. People are going to be all over this Han 2 green. And then, so like, buy your Maz Kanatas now. If you traded them away because you thought they were junk, these guys played Maz Han green and went wide.
Oh, wow. I got a Maz over there somewhere else going to grab it. But yeah, I think the Han green is interesting. Like, I think people early in the meta are like sometimes like to play it safe. And I think that when people take a risk and play something kind of, not out of the box, but not as seen and like do well with it. I think now we're going to see an explosion. I think there's going to be a lot of Han blue and Han green. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
Gonna be so much Han blue.
It's interesting with the green. Cause like we don't see a list yet. We talked about it a little bit in our testing team. My 10-year-old son sent us a list like a month and a half ago. I kind of joked it off, but like being able to, and then you look at like the Sabines from like the pre-meta. Remember the Sabines that had like all one drops and stuff like that, and kind of got decimated. But with Han, you're able to actually play like good units with that, and also like now it's two sets of units. You think about like all the three drops in Sabine that are so good. Well, now you can play some of them like on turn one, and they're like still really good. Like red, you play red three on turn one, and if they don't have an answer to it, now you just have an Anthem that's also attacking for three, and then you're also spamming a bunch of cards. So like, red three stands out. Like, Poe and Wrecker faster. Gorilla Attack Pod. There's a lot. I mean, really interested to see the list, but there's a lot of, like, really powerful units that you can spam. I mean, you get, like, you get six Battlefield Marines. You have Battlefield Marine and Cassian that you can do. You can do the droids, R2 and 3PO, Maz. So, like, you can really spam. And then if you look at that compared to, like, you know, Daring Raid never really took off as, like, meta sort of warping removal. Like, it's not Lightning Bolt in that sense. So, like, you know, early removal is, like, Power of the Dark Side takedown in this game. And those cards are not good when your opponent's got, like, four units out.
Yeah.
So, like, a really aggressive Swarm deck is, like, we're talking about Sabine, and I think, like, Green Han too is going to sort of fall in a similar role and might be able to like sort of leverage some matchups. And if it's got a good Sabine matchup, and like a good Boba matchup, it's able to like flip this sort of, you know, top three decks of the meta type thing and have advantages.
Were they aggro-less? Do we know anything about them? Were they aggro-based?
I would imagine if they're playing Maz, which I got confirmation that they are, that they would be go-wide decks. Okay. They're trying to spam guys. I know just from playing the blue version the other night, there were times when I was like, oh, my opponent only has one guy left. I'm going to kill it with whatever's on board, and then I'm going to drop three guys. and it right. was crazy, like, to just drop A-Wing, Battlefield Marine Yoda, you know. Mm-hmm. It just felt insanely strong to be able to do that on six resources. That's
saucy backdrop and all you three of those.
How do you play A-Wing, Battlefield Marine, and Yoda?
I was just naming cards, but it was probably Sabine. I don't remember.
Mike's broke the meta. He's got four color
deck. That's like that thought.
Yeah.
That is no, but
so last night, that's a good point, though. Like, last night on late night, I took back the game from Loopy in a mirror because I was able to drop multiple guys in a turn. I did, like, Kanan for three, and then smuggled a Cassian. And just that, just playing, like, multiple guys sometimes after you use what's on the board to kind of mop up is huge. So, like, the going wide and like, yeah, okay, you can make an opening Maz, right, on your second turn, but that's all your resources. And then they just drop two more guys, and you're like, oh, okay, they're not going to be
right. Now yeah, that's what's so frustrating side. from the controls side of things, right? Like, you clear the board, and then your opponent plays two or three more cards, and you have to keep playing your resources, and then you've got, like, one removal spell for their two things, and there's not a clean, like, sort of cleanup answer. Like, Avenger's way too late. You know, Avenger probably would do it, but it's just too late. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this deck.
Yeah, it's why blue-green control really has been the predominant control list in this game, is because
you need to have barrage.
ECL does it, ECL, and, like, bigger units. But you need a unit that trades with two things. Like, you need to find two for ones. And the one-for-one event-based control decks are just not going to get there because, like you said, there's just no cheap removal, and there's no good card draw mechanics either. We're not, like, finding some card that draws five in our end step. What was that instant that, like, gained you life and drew cards? It was like blue, white, white, X or whatever.
Sphinx's Revelation.
Yeah, there's Sphinx's no Sphinx's Revelation. Rev yeah. to, like, when they miss a turn, you draw five and heal five, and now you have a handful of gas. It's just like, this game doesn't have that. This game barely has card draw.
Yeah.
Right, and the aggro decks have more cards because they're curving to five resources, and then they're just drawing and playing two cards a turn.
Playing two cards a turn, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Bombing Run will make a comeback.
Comeback. I'm surprised it was ever around.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to throw you a bone because your high take on Bombing Run.
I was. I was also really low on Bossk, and he ended up being a beast. So. When I'm wrong, I have no problem admitting it.
Bossk still has something to prove, but I think he's not trash. Like, he's an actual meta contender. Bossk?
He's got to show up, but I think he can.
No, zero Bossks in this event. We had, like, a Gar. Anything else you want to shout out about this event? You know, we've got a lot to look at. The top cut was a Sabine, Han, two blue, two green, two Han, two greens, two Kira greens, set one Han yellow, and a Hondo.
Which is the only Hondo player. So, like,
it's the only thing I'd say is we talked a little bit about it on one of the pods where we think about which set one heroes we thought would do better with set two and possibly set three. And we talked a little bit about yellow Han in terms of at some point, and I'm kind of going to lump red Han in there too. At some point, these decks are just going to be better than the rest because they do something outside the normal game state. Like, they allow you to ramp, they allow you to play an extra resource a turn. So to see the rise of Han 2.0, it's not super surprising, and I think it's a little bit cleaner version of Han 1.0, whereas you don't have to worry about all the resource manipulation. You can just take a couple damage and jam something out there a little quicker. But I think in general, it'll be interesting to see down the line, too, what type of leaders they create that do things that aren't in the normal, I want to say, rules of the game, for instance.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think, like, that's something. If you break down, you know, we have Han 1, Han 2, and Boba, who all let you play with extra resources on the table. And if you go down this list, 21 out of the 60 are either Han 1, Han 2, or Boba. So, like, that's a third of the meta that are using sort of, like, resource-generating leaders to navigate the meta. And then you have, like, you know, a smaller amount of damage based guys, Cad, Vader, Palpatine, buff guys like Tarkin, Hondo, and then you know, aggro guys like Kylo and Sabine who do extra base damage. So I think like maybe we start categorizing leaders like that, and if they do make other guys that give us more resources like Han or Boba, I'm sure they will be good in the meta.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if Lando will be good at some point, because he does, while it's not necessarily that aspect, there is something along those lines with what he does.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I've tried to make it work. I need to get back on that train. I think there is something. I don't know if it's ever going to be better than Han, just because his body is so bad when he comes out. And you can like give him a jetpack, which is sweet, but then like then you're not using his ability, and at that point, like why are you playing him? You know?
Yeah.
So it's a tough push and pull about like he's not really good enough on his own, and you're not able to get enough good stuff out. But I'm sure we can make Lando work. I still think he's good. All right, then we had an Atlanta 1K where a couple of our subs, Mephisto and Symbiote, were giving us the goods. They finished 3-6 in the Swiss, had to play each other in the top 8, and Mephisto won, and then split in the top 4. But the top 8 of that, I think it ended up being, 24 players? Does it say here? No, but anyway.
That sounds right. I think I read that.
The top 8 was a Luke 30-point green, a Han, 2 Han blues, Kira green ECL, a Kira green 30-point base, 1 Boba yellow, that was Mephisto, a Sabine ECL, and a Vader 30-point green. Shout out Vader showing up.
Yeah, Vader and Luke. I don't know if you have the list, but one of the Hans was a 5960 of the Han list from my video. It was great. The one with the village protectors.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. And the only card that was different was in the sideboard. He only owned 2 Krayt Dragon, and I had a third in the sideboard, so he just switched it for like Force Surrender. So that was cool to see.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. This list?
Look at that. That's our free content helping
people. That's the free content, not the forced content. The Luke 30 is interesting. I haven't seen Luke too much. I actually played it at Gen Con, but it's funny. I won, and then the next day, the guy I beat played Sabine and matted up.
Wow.
Using that picture of you guys, Matt and Mike.
We saw Luke 30-point. Really show up towards the end of the set one meta, or at least for a chunk of the set one meta, once people figured out that like the 30-point version could actually beat Boba Green by just getting to the late game and being on the home one plan, going higher than the Vader plan that Boba Green was doing. But I'm not quite sure how it's navigating the current meta, but I imagine if it's like a bunch of Boba Yellows and like, I guess, I think Boba Yellow is just like a little bit on the downswing because of the Kira rise. So I think that kind of leads.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's some of these other decks to kind of rise up that would otherwise just get bounced into oblivion.
And that's what I was gonna.
Curve decks do better. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say too. Is like these meta conversations that we're putting out there, like they do matter, right? Because like we're seeing, you know, Kira green 30. That's something that like we made on a kitchen table. And then, Wu's list, and you're not seeing, like, Aiden, right? Like, you're not seeing, like, the old stuff. Like, the evolution is happening, and you're seeing the Han Blues from Gen Con. So you've got the Luke and Vaders that are, like, sort of older meta decks, but, like, there's these new things pop up, you know? Like, the decks that have been doing well at Gen Con are now your meta. And then, you know, what's your meta after the rise of Han green or more Han blue? Like what actually gets on top of that? Like what are we going to see? Maybe it's some other deck that just is, you know, maybe it is a Tarkin Town deck, because I'd imagine Tarkin Town's really good against the Han decks. And you know, just seeing like what kind of transpires, it's going to be fun. But the meta certainly does like sort of twist and turn through the weeks,
especially like in a, like there's all these factors, and I have a video coming out about deck selection. I think it's dropping this week, maybe early next week, depending on our content schedule. But it's about like taking not only like the meta, but then like what event am I playing? Like I'm playing a 24 main 1K in my local area. Well, that's going to affect things, and navigating your deck selection based off that is going to be different than going to a 128 man or a planetary qualifier.
The other thing I wanted to mention or ask you guys is like, how do you feel about splits? I don't know if we've ever talked about splits. These guys split in the top 4. One of them had to be wrong. I kind of gave them crap. I gave Mephisto crap, and then he defended himself. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, you make the decision for you, but someone in that four was wrong.
I think it depends. Are all four in the top four KTOD members?
I don't think they were.
Then in that case, no, never split.
Yeah, Mephisto's saying he had a bad matchup, but like, if he had a bad matchup, then like, why isn't his opponent being like the one that says no? Or is it just like, well, three guys in this want to split. I don't really want to be the bad guy.
That's generally how I've been with like this. You know, pops up sometimes when you'll have like a magic local, even one that has like an invite to something, but has like other prizes associated with it. It's like, let's just homogenize it and, you know, split everything up and still play for like the invite or what have you. I've always sort of been the guy who just sort of says, sure, that's fine.
Whatever everyone else wants.
To be the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's something else to play for.
Still playing for the invite. Yeah. Like, I'm okay if you do it that way, but like, the thing that kind of stinks, right, is like, all right, like, we're going to split the top four. Everyone goes home and like two people battle it out. And I'm like, I won this 1K. And it's like,
yeah, that's,
you didn't
that's different.
Do that.
Like, yeah, the SCGs have turned into that where like half the people go, half the people leave and half the people play or whatever.
But the people who stay, like they're staying and they're playing.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, it's like they other people dropped. It would be no different than if other people dropped. But like if they didn't make it, you know, if those people actually dropped, would other people who were just on the bubble like have played? I don't know.
You should ask Maddie that, because he's always, everyone always draws to keep him out of top eight.
If you know what, I'm gonna take the other approach. I've been very I'm gonna say this: if you had played that last round, and
it's finally coming out.
I would have gotten that.
You would have been top eight, and I would have been probably the number one seed, right? Because if you play,
you should have played it. But anyway,
you would have been. We might never have had this. You would have been a magic pro. Might have launched.
Is it finally confirmed the reason you drew was to keep Maddie out?
No,
I just didn't want to play.
I didn't know. Maddie told me afterwards. It wasn't like beforehand.
He didn't know.
He was like, "Oh, you didn't play? Like, if you won, I maybe get in."
Maybe though.
I've been there. I think I did that to Quenka or Quenka did that to me in Magic like a long time ago.
Wait, what was the point you brought up? Because I wanted to say something. What were we just talking about?
Splitting? We were just saying like the person on the bubble might want to actually play.
Yeah. So, like, listen, do what you want in your life. We're so starved. This is what's gonna, we're so starved for competitive content because the pro, whatever's going to happen, hasn't happened yet. You know, the PQs are coming and things will change. But, like, there really is, like, a tier list, I'll use like Counter-Strike, right? There's like majors, and then there's like, you know, or Pokemon, there's like regionals. I mean, just a 24 1K is a great event, and the people who did well should be happy. But like, that's going to be a different tier than, you know, a 200 man galactic champion or whatever the heck it is. You know what I mean? And so like, we're projecting, like we want info, we want these things to matter, but like, really, like, there's a tier list, and if you want to split your 24-man 1K, go nuts. But you just got to understand what that really means.
All right. Well, then I wasn't going to make –
Did all 24 players split?
No, but did you hear about
that
this?
That would be wild.
Yeah, this is – Steve, this is exactly what I was going to bring up. In L.A., they had a 3K, and it had 24 players, and before the event, they all agreed to split.
3K? Oh.
That's nuts.
Maybe there's more of that Atlanta crazy. One then.
That used to happen a bunch. Going back to the Magic thing, like the 5Ks, like stores did, right when the game started, like, not declining, but like when there's just less people playing, right? Like, Mike, when you and I played,
I mean,
it was like 2015, 2016, there was like just things were stacked. And then, like, people just started to not attend things as much.
Yeah.
And there were definitely events that you would go to that would be like 40 people for a 5K. And people would say that, like, we should all just split right now. And it was like, but it was a joke. It never actually happened.
Yeah, this they did. We don't know if the store honored the 3K prize pool because the buy-in was 50 and it was only 24 players. So that does not equal $3,000. And they said they were going to split and get 125 each. I don't know if that happened, but that's ridiculous, and I wasn't going to dignify it with a slide.
Why are you even playing then?
I agree. Why play? Right.
Where do you tier list that event? Is that a locals?
Like, yeah, it's a local.
Exactly.
I tier list that right under like our coffee table games.
Yeah, yeah, that's
with Justin's kids.
Me and Steve Winstoning is more competitive than that.
But that's the point I'm trying to make. 100. Is like, you know,
that's an online platform that probably we can't say the name of
by
it.
The end of the day.
All right, so one more 1K yesterday in Wisco. They did it at Misty Mountain. 41 players. This was streamed all day by The Initiative. The video, the VOD is up. I will try and think to grab the link. Also, all the lists are up for this event. I don't know if it might have some gaps, but they do have a spreadsheet with all the lists. So I will link the stream and the lists. But the top eight was Han 1 yellow versus Han 2 blue, Sabine Green over Han 2 blue, Sabine Green over Kira. 30-point, and then Han 2 blue over Cad red. And the Sabine Green beating Kira, that was it was one of our subs, Picardi, on the Kira green. And I didn't watch too closely, but they were talking about that he had it, and it kind of got thrown because that should have been a really good matchup for Kira green. I know he was pretty bummed about it, but it's a long day, and I think you know, it's a tournament is all day, and you can't. It's just a grind.
He had a great run.
Yeah, he had a great run. And
you
just
can't beat yourself.
Made a mistake. And honestly, he's lucky to be able to have it on stream. If he wants to get better, he can look at it and learn from it, which is hard to do, but it's good.
And it's that pressure that Sabine puts on you too. There's not much
for sure.
Room
you don't to mess up. Exactly. You don't really get
also,
to mess around.
That's such a great point. Like, you know, your playtesting games are so different than a tournament games. Like, you're going to feel the pressure. You're in a top eight. Like, Sabine can do that too. Like, that's a perfect point of, like, he didn't play perfectly and maybe he goofed, but like the people should point it out, right? The armchair analysts who are back home not feeling any pressure, but you also have to understand like what he was feeling in the moment and be like, okay, he goofed, that stuff happens. He can learn from it, but like, that's where we're going to leave it. We're going to point it out.
I think,
and then he had a great run and that's it.
Everyone who's ever won anything is goofed. I've certainly goofed. Tom Brady tried to call 4 timeouts against the Bears. Like, there's these things that happen, but it's a great run to get there. I always say, like, when people talk about like MJ LeBron, like, oh, LeBron is, what is he, like 4-6 in the finals, and like MJ's like 6-0 in the finals. But it's like, yeah, but like LeBron's got to 10 and MJ got to 6, and MJ didn't play for 6 years in his career. He like lost to Larry Bird in the first round a bunch and lost to the Pistons a bunch and like didn't get there. So if you get to there, then you lose, that's that you still got there. You still won to get there rather than losing earlier.
I'm still distraught. You're a LeBron over Jordan kind of guy.
He's the GOAT.
I never thought that would come out of your mouth.
And honestly, like the more top eights, like as you get better at these events and you start top eighting more, you know, we've all gone through this process where like, oh, I made a bunch of top eights, but I never got there. And then you start to like make a bunch of top fours and you start to make a bunch of finals and then you get there. So it's progress.
Mm-hmm. That was like my Star Wars CCG career in a nutshell.
It's mostly everyone's career. Like you just incrementally get better as you improve and you take things more seriously and you just take the time to make your game tighter. Then so like you can watch all these games. The Han 2 over Sabine, it was a 3-game match. It was really good. It was really close. Definitely that third game is one to watch. I watched it last night. And I don't want to spoil it for people who want to see it all. I mean, obviously you know who won, but it was pretty exciting game 3. And then so Late Night Gaming hosted the stream, but their stream died. And then Rebel Trader from Take the Initiative was casting from home, and he just picked up the stream on his end and did it on his channel, which was great. And he streamed the whole thing, the whole day, all 8-6 rounds or whatever, and 5 rounds, maybe 6 rounds, and then the top 8. Yeah, he was going to bow out for the top 8, but I think he was just like having too much fun, and Loopy ended up getting on there to cast the top 8 with him.
Yeah, casting is sick. Like, and props to the people who like set that up to be able to do that. Like, I want to see more of that. Like, I wish that we, you know, we could have more of that. I would love to cast a 1K. Like, that sounds.
I mean, there's the Great Stories 1K in 1 month. Did you guys sign up for that, by the way? Are you doing that?
I have a golf tournament.
No.
I have a charity.
What's the date on it?
Every year.
9/14.
I can probably do that.
Yeah, it's $50. It's a 1K.
I'll put it on my calendar now.
Yeah, we could stream it if we got a caster. Maybe we can do a home caster.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'll see if Mr. wants to do it.
Yeah, we'll
reach he may want to play. Here is Alex's Han 2 blue. He's got Ray and Poe.
I know. I was just about to say he's a He's a Ray and wow. Po'Boy. And what is he? So he's no tech in the main. So that's one card. Three. I mean, I can't knock
Fang it. Fighters main
list. So yeah, Fang main. Worried about, I'm assuming, you know, your Dark Sabers and stuff. Dark Saber. And I say this in my video, but like the cool thing about blue, red, Han and stuff is like it's so malleable. Like he wanted to hit that note of like my really big turn, you know, four resource play. So he not over indexed, but he indexed more towards that. I mean, it's not what I'm playing, but I like it. I think he's got a lot of cool stuff. I'm trying to figure out what he cut that. Oh, he doesn't play Make an Opening. But it's a good list.
I mean, three Karabas. I like the three Karabas. That's a card I've been kind of impressed with playing the deck. It's more five drops than I would want to run because I would want that option we talked about earlier to play our Yodas, our Green Squadron A-Wings, and our Battlefield Marines all in one turn. Mm-hmm. But, disabling Fang Fighter is interesting because you could play it for two and kill it.
Just as a spell.
Whatever. The deck is good and it's got an insane top end.
Conquer Dawn boy. I think Conquer Dawn is like so hot, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's like the big, if I was trying to figure out if what I was cutting the five drops for, it would be the Conquer Dawn.
Yeah.
Only two pillage.
I like that he's on. Yeah. Only two pillage, which is fine. Like I've had games where I've actually like lost to favorable matchups that I've, you know, beaten a bunch of times because I just get too many pillage and I'm like, I need units. Like this is a unit deck. So I can see, I can never see going down to one. I know some people are doing that because I think the discard is so insane into a lot of the popular stuff, but I think two is completely reasonable and it lets you be a curve boy more. Two mace. I think mace is like super impressive in this deck. So I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good deck. I mean, nothing. It's
yeah. Anything. Really so I guess like if I'm thinking about how like cutting this into its own video going forward. So like this weekend we saw still a lot of Kira, not as much Boba.
Sabine, not as much Boba. That last top eight had zero Boba that we just saw.
And like two green, like Sabine Green showing up in all these top eights, 11 in Poland, only one converted, but certainly a lot fewer Boba yellows. More Hantu blues, more Kiras. What's next weekend's meta? What are you playing next weekend?
That's a great point, especially to make this into a clip.
I think one of the things that's happening is that Boba's getting pushed out more than we thought because of these like Han blue mid-range Kira being like big players, where Sabine, again, it always has the ability to win because of the nature of the deck, where like you're sitting down even against like a Boba yellow, you're not just like conceding and saying like, oh man, I can't win this one. We saw our boy Yako from the Patreon and in the Discord like do really, really well. He went like 16-1 in games, and I think he played two Boba yellows, like 2-0 both of them.
I think it might have been the same guy, but yeah,
even the one K that you won, Mike, like your one loss in that whole tournament was to CJ on Sabine. Like it's always there, mm-hmm. even into unfavorable matchups. It's so punishing. So like that's just like Sabine's sort of the backdrop, and then you've got these control decks pushing the Boba yellows out. So in terms of where the meta goes, I don't know, too. But like yeah, and Sabine can evolve too, which is interesting.
We talk about the top target vigilance play being such a blowout. Like you can bring the wolves back in the sideboard and like
Bright Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bright Hope blows that out, Austin.
Yeah, just bounce it. So I mean there's evolutions there. I think you guys are right. I think Sabine's got some serious staying power. But if people are moving away from Sabine and trying to play this control game, Mike, I know you're getting pretty hot on a certain Emperor. He had some success early in the meta.
I'm trying to make him work again.
Yeah. So
yeah, like go on top of all the controls and then have a plan. Like feel comfortable against Sabine, whether it's like just infinite life gain some way, and then you play against any leader, like you play against a Luke, you play against a Kira, you play against a Han, you know, like you're gonna have that turn where you steal their unit and Like Palpatine against the Hondex is great because all their units have damage.
Right, yeah, they basically can't. Right. They have to play a fair game. The only thing they can do unfairly is like pillage you, which like, you know, as Palp, you don't want to see, but really you're just ramping and hoping to draw 7 and 8 drops anyway. So
you get to draw, so it's
and you like get to draw, like you can just offset it. Right, because you just be one card up, and then if they pillage, they're one card down, and you're only one card down. So like, and they just use 4 resources. So I think like pillage it isn't even that good against Palp.
Yeah,
yeah.
The blue Palp. There you go, Mikey.
No, talk about blue Palp first.
So the blue Palp that I played at Gen Con even had like at least one main deck Palp's Return, which I mean, you have access to that for the room, you know, for the discard as well. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I love Palp's Return for sure, and. Like, I could definitely see playing it in the main deck. And I also think, you know, the daring raid point Justin made earlier, it's just like, are we going to start seeing daring raids? Is red palp the way to go? Because, like, now you have this daring raid. You're drawing the extra cards. It doesn't cost you that much to burn a card when it kills something. Right. So it'll be interesting to see the way the meta evolves from these Hantu lists. But I could definitely see the way this goes is like, oh, this is the point I wanted to make earlier. But, like, the meta we saw across those three events is so much different than what we saw at Gen Con with, like, all, like, Aidens and Palps. Like, there weren't a lot of that. And in Gen Con, I felt like all I saw were Palp.
Yeah.
Played 2 Palp all 3 days. So, like, you know, are Palps going to come in to do this? And then the following weekend, is it a Sabine weekend? And then, like, what is it for the start of PQs? Is it a Sabine weekend, or is it a Boba Yellow weekend, or is it a Control weekend? So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see, but I think we might see some more Palps next weekend if there are any events on the weekend of the 24th.
And some people are cool just like throwing a matchup for an event, being like, okay, if the Sabines show up, you got me, but
I think
the people I'm worried about beating are going to be on.
That's, you know, basically how we had to play Magic. It was like when I played Boggles, I was like, well, I hope I don't see Valakut today. If I see Valakut, I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
And then I'd see one, I would lose, and then win all the other ones.
I'm starting to get more okay with that kind of a thing because, ooh, like, I thought, yeah, that's good. I can't wait.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. It's
because, is that exclusive, like, to us?
No.
No, 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 no. You just haven't looked at the spoilers. But I'll make this point really quick. At Gen Con, I thought I was going to beat up on yellow Bobas and like kind of do the thing that Wu did when I played Kira, and I played like all control decks. And it's like you can never predict. So sometimes throwing a matchup is fine. Like, you just never know what you're going to face.
All right. So we're already going for 47 minutes, which is a lot. I did put all these spoilers in here. We can go through them pretty quick, but Steve hasn't seen these, so we get some to explain like the rules to him. So we get a new keyword here, coordinate. Coordinate is when you have 3 or more units. So, like, if you have 3 or more units, you can use Ahsoka to attack. Or, like, if you have 3 or more units, including her, when she flips, she's a 5/6 when she flips. And that's permanent. So, like, it's
any type of defense. Unit doesn't have to be same color or anything like that.
Any unit, if you control 3 or more units, it activates coordinate. That's one of the new keywords of the set. So this is one of the starter cards. It's kind of bland, like her, you know, you're swarming. Steve, you haven't seen, but like there's token units now, we'll see in a second. And like,
okay,
so you know, this is clone leader Ahsoka Tano, like general Ahsoka. And she wants you to have a bunch of units out, and she'll let you attack for +1/+0 with them. And then she comes out stronger when you have more units out. So that's the long and short of coordinate. Do you guys have any hot takes on Ahsoka? I think she's like pretty mid.
Yeah, she's not going to be played much. But I think coordinate is cool. Like, we're seeing, you know, Justin to talk about, like, people want to go wide. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to do that. I like the interplay between, and we'll see it, like, how the, you know, the villain do it versus the hero.
I'm sure she'll get played a lot at the pre-releases.
She'll be fun to be, mm-hmm. like, she will be fun at pre-release, and she will be fun at playing your starter.
And
if you know it's going to be great against coordinate, bombing run. Let's there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, baby.
All right, and then we've got
to make some money off the 200 I bought offline last week.
Then we've got Grievous. Grievous gives a droid Sentinel for the phase, and it's a droid, so it can be any droid, which is cool. You can do a deep dive into like what all the droids are. And he's an official. And a separatist, okay, which is a new, you know, we're getting a new, wait, is Dooku a separatist?
Dooku is a separatist.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. So not new, but more. And then on attack, you give a droid +1/+0 and Sentinel for the phase. So as he attacks, he can kind of protect himself. Ideally, you're blockers. Giving it to something either chonky or a battle droid. So they have to attack into a 1/1.
This seems really good.
It's definitely much better than Ahsoka, that's for sure.
It's dark side Chewie, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the only thing I don't like about him is, so Chewie allows you to play, do it all in one action, right?
Yeah.
Like you play the unit from your hand, comes into play with Sentinel. This, you in theory have to play the unit, and then they're going to have
the
ability to still attack your base, and then you have to do it. So right. It's almost like you have to use it on a pre-existing unit.
Right, but I think the idea there is that, like, you're going to, if you're doing this, you're probably spamming battle droids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be,
you just use them as like chump blockers.
Yeah, I'll skip a slide, but like the whole theme around the separatists for this set is that they just spam out battle droids. Battle droids are zero cost 1/1s.
Bombing run.
And like, so they have exploit. This is like the separatist mechanic, exploit. While playing this card, defeat up to two of those units. This card costs 2 less for each card defeated that way. So you spam out these battle droids.
That's cool.
And then you play the Hailfire tank for 4. You know, just by sacking 2 battle droids. So you've got a 7/6 for 4 mana. And like, ooh, obviously, you know, if it goes the way the other mechanics that they've introduced go, we'll have like 1 or 2 really good exploit cards and everything else will be kind of like mid. Yeah. But
Asajj could be free. She's exploit 2 and she costs 4.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you can play Asajj for free. Good, so yeah. Like that, yeah, there's one. For sure, that's cool. And then they have these guys who, like, battle droid escort. It's when played and when defeated, create a battle droid token. So, like, the idea is you're spamming these guys out so that when you have Grievous, you should have, like, the idea is you would have droids out.
Multiple, yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I agree. There's definitely something lacking.
There's something there. I think there's something there, though. His stats are also good, like, just 4-8.
4-8, something, yeah.
Yeah, 4-8 for 6, yeah. Solid. I mean, he's definitely, we've seen a booty be insane.
Yeah, right. I love a good booty.
And then, interested to get your take on these, Justin, as like red-green player, Captain Rex. Well, I guess Rex isn't going into any aggro deck, but he's a 4-4 that comes with 2 clone tokens, so he's like a 6-6 for 6. Jesse, though, 3 mana 4-4 with raid 1, so he attacks for 5, and when he gets played, he gives your opponent 2 battle droids.
I don't know. Jesse seems pretty good. I mean, I think with actions, like just getting like a 5/4 out. I mean, obviously you side him out against him. You're playing against Grievous.
You know, yeah, if you're playing against Exploit, you're not super happy to
like
give them free Asajj's.
The way the game should work is like if you play him and they have these battle droids, you'll always have the initiative for those battle droids to ever do anything. So you'll just, and you'll have a 5/4.
Yeah, number
so like. That to me seems really, really strong, and it's not like these. It's not like there's blocking in this game, or, right. You know. So like, I guess that is blocking. Again, when Grievous would sort of does a lot of blocking, but yeah, I think he's really good. Obviously, he's in a crazy, you know, curb spot. He won't. Interestingly enough, he wouldn't go into the Han decks, right?
Yeah,
like 4/2.
Yeah,
battle droids just kill him.
Right, exactly.
But like putting him into Sabine and then you're attacking for 5 with him and you have Sabine. You can also like ECL this guy. Although that's probably, he's probably not that great to ECL actually, because you don't really want damage on him because his stats.
It's cool too, because with along the lines of what you said, I feel like there's so many times when I've played against Sabine with a deck and they don't get the opportunity to use her, the leader text, because they're trying to keep initiative. And if you're just giving them tokens, you're always going to be able to get in.
Yeah, you can get that in too, right? Yeah, I think you're going to see him play it. I mean, he's just the stats alone are just really strong.
Yeah, the other
really
from a flavor standpoint.
Go ahead.
Just to say, from a flavor standpoint, I like that they made the troopers 2/2s and the droids just 1/1s. Yeah,
I can see like a singleton Rex in the sideboard too of like grindy games. Of, you know, kind of that point of like playing multiple units where you've got this guy and then you could play, you know, like red threes in your deck and and stuff like that to Anthem.
Yeah, and there might be other anthems. There might be clone anthems, you know? So, like, who's to say? This is very early on in the set.
Great in that red green, huh?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, you get three units out on five.
Yep.
That's
yeah, and then, like, with red three or anything else that buffs is just pretty insane. Yep.
Like, Heroic Sacrifice is going to be great with all these tokens to, like, attack for three and just draw a card.
Yeah, so really early, and I try not to get too embroiled in spoilers with, because it's just not competitive, but it is interesting. The other interesting thing to know...
Limited's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I mean, give me a limited event, please, FFG. The set is only going to have two tokens, and I don't know if this is for every set going forward, but because these are the two tokens for the set, there's not a single shielded, and there's not a single experience in the whole set.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
No That's experience wild. Tokens and no shields in the set.
Wow.
That's wild.
I'll Which is this. Crazy considering Battle Droid stuff has shields, like Droidicus and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're doing a good job with the spoiler release because, like, we were just talking the other day how it feels like there's... Like, we're kind of in this lull phase, even though set two just came out and there's nothing really great right now. And I didn't even realize spoilers. Like, I think FFG is doing a good job along those lines. And I'm not one to always give credit when.
Well, we were at Gen Con when they did this. So, like, we were playing and doing stuff and they were having these panels and everything. So we weren't, like, on the internet that weekend as much.
Yeah.
Only thing like, I want to say about spoilers. Who is Jesse?
I'm not sure. He's definitely. Someone from Clone Wars.
Let us know in the comments who Jesse is.
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
And how dumb we are for not knowing that.
Is he one of the guys that
is with Rex in the end? Like...
He's a hard-fighting patriot, guys.
Yeah, I don't want to read this thing, but I think he is one of the ones from the maybe the storyline where they figure out that the clone six, the Order 66 is like in their brains.
Got it.
Dang.
Oh no, he's talking to Crosshair and stuff. I don't know. We'll read. He's in Siege of Mandalore too, so I'm sure.
Let us know. It's all good.
Yeah. All right.
The only thing I was gonna say about spoilers is, I love that they're starting now, but like we need the full list a little sooner, just a little.
Yeah,
bit
maybe.
Sooner.
And I also think like there's only a lull because we're kind of waiting for the PQs and stuff to start.
PQs.
Yeah, I think once events start,
once that happens, it'll really jumpstart.
A couple more cards that we can touch on. There's Anakin Skywalker. He's a 5-drop 6/6. We're seeing more 5-cost 6/6. He's a Force Jedi Republic, and he has a coordinate. On attack, draw a card. We see the General's Blade, a green lightsaber that goes on when it's on Jedi. It lets you play units for cheaper, which seems pretty insane.
Yeah, that thing looks
And wild. Then Coruscant Guard's cool. He's just like a generic 3/2, but if you have coordinate, you could ambush him in to like kill a sentinel or something.
Yeah, that's
which
cool.
I like.
I like Anakin in Han. No synergy in terms of thematics, but.
Yeah, if you're spamming
well
things out,
spamming
like a green Han, spammy green Han.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that draws a card, man, is people are going to try. And
always
make it
look at it. Yep.
I'm still trying to make Cassian decks, bro.
But the General's Blade to like, if you can attack and play things, you could attack with it that turn. You could play it, attack with it, and then play like another like unit, like a 4-drop or something for cheaper. And sort of like go wide, and then the following turn, like potentially drop a bomb, which is cool. I assume we're going to see some even bigger Jedi. Than
you
Anakin.
Could do, is Charity Jedi?
No,
just Force.
Ugh.
So that's the thing. Force. It's like, and somebody posted on our Discord like who the Jedi are right now, but it's
But we're getting the
we'll
Republic
get more.
Set.
I'm just saying, like Luke leader isn't right.
Okun coming out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Luke is not a Jedi. Wow.
Not the leader.
What leaders are Jedi? You know any of them?
Emperor probably.
No, he wouldn't be a Jedi.
No,
he's a Sith.
Sith.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was
yeah, just Dark a Force Jedi. Rebel. A
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that definitely changes.
Cloud City Luke. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, keywords matter. We're gonna start paying more attention. All right, we are at 1,060 paid members, forced to pay. and they're in here. But we have five questions today because they were all good.
Oh wow, great!
In general,
this is my favorite section of our podcast.
Yeah, we get some good ones this week. So shout out to Mark. In general, how many turns ahead will you aim to hold cards in your hand to play for? Is there such a thing as planning too far ahead, given card draws will happen each turn, and the need to have the best plays for the turn you're in? And where is that line, or how do you find it? I know I just did the whole we're creating some living docs for our most played decks in our team, and I talked a lot about like what cards I'm to resource decisions in the Yellow Boba when I was making that document, and like I will often resource even Fetz Fire Spray and five drops in the Boba Yellow because I don't want to hold them. I want to make sure that my turns are explosive as possible throughout the game.
See, yeah, I had the complete opposite.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I had the complete opposite experience during the Gen Con tournament because I played so many Emperor decks and control decks. Like, I was always saving my Fell of the Dragons and my takedowns for like 4 or 5 turns in advance, and it actually ended up paying off. Like, there was one game where I fought through two. Is it Relentless? The one that you have to play two things for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I was saving Force Throws in that matchup just to burn against whatever the counter to get out of the way type.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. So
and I know we were playing different decks, but I was finding with that Blue Ray that I was playing that I was saving removal for a lot of turns in advance, and that's actually how I ended up decking so many decks in that tournament, and not necessarily by playing Vigilance and trying to like play a mill deck, but just the fact that they would run out of answers.
They'd run out of threats because you held.
Would you not play cards to just hold cards in hand? Like, would you take turns off of playing?
Well, some terms, but this is also where my favorite card was coming into play, which I know you hate, was like every time I always resource Sugi. And there were so many games where my turn would be playing Sugi out of my resource because I was holding my removal for the later rounds. The bigger
Smuggle
bombs.
In those matchups is so it good. Is so and I think like, so, you know, we're seeing it's certainly matchup dependent when you know you have to hold a Fell the Dragon because you're facing That's a Great Dragon, which is like really important. I know that's something when I played Kira at Gen Con, I had to be like really conscious of because I have the opposite approach with Boba Yellow, where I'm like just trying to dump my hand and go hellbent pretty much as soon as Boba flips or the turn after, you know, having to plan long term. So I think it's like deck dependent for what you're playing and like what your opponent's playing. But what do you guys think, Justin?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like it depends on your matchup and it depends on your deck. And like, you know, you kind of have to like do a little mental simulator in your head of like, you know, how is this game going to go? Like, you know, this guy plays Pose or this guy plays like, you know, Avengers. Okay, I need my Fell the Dragons. Like, you just kind of have to play it that way versus like if you hold on to like if you need to be curving out in that matchup and you save your 7-drop and you just die, like, well, it didn't really do anything for you.
Yeah, I like to think pretty far ahead. And I think one of the things, you know, Sabine's a little different because you basically have to be aggressive. But one thing that comes up pretty often is like pumps in your opening hand, like to resource them because they just don't do enough early. And you're hoping to like, you have to understand what's sort of on the top of your deck, like on the aggregate, like something's probably going to pop up. And then one thing that also happens is just understanding like the curve of your own deck. Like there's been many games where I've kept like, I've resourced a 3-drop on the first turn to have no 3s just because I know that I'm probably going to draw one if I've got like Poe, K2, and like for a cause I believe in and I don't want to resource it in that specific matchup, I'll like play a 2-drop and then have the opportunity to potentially whiff. Like if I was to draw like Wrecker and Poe right there, that's like pretty bad and I'd have to play for a cause or something like
that. Yeah, I've definitely had games like that with Sabine. It's like, I'll and draw then, this you know,
yeah, and then you end up drawing like, you know, you're that's one of the reasons I think R2s is so incredibly powerful is because he kind of, you know, adds math in your favor there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think to the first question, I certainly like plan ahead. It's just that at times I'll play to my own variance, based upon like what I'm not going to play in that game, you know, sort of understand I'm going to draw like the duplication there.
Yeah. And this, your point makes me think of like why, like I challenge people to think more about like what's good and what's bad in their matchup for sideboarding instead of just like having a guide because like the cards you need to know in every game what cards you don't want to play and which cards you're happy to resource. So like, think about that and use that to sort of guide your decisions.
100%. And I think I don't really ever use sideboard guides. I never really use them in Magic. I think it's important to know like what you like in a matchup and what you don't like, but the way that your opponent plays, you know, impacts that
exactly
so much. Mm-hmm. And like, are they attacking the way your unit? Are they sideboards? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, there's so many variables, and like, mm-hmm. also just like throwing a wrench into the plan of what they think you're going to do, and like swerving off of it, and like being more aggressive when they think you're going more controlling. Like, it's just, you know, you can't just have it so static.
Yep.
I've definitely made that mistake by sticking to strict sideboard guides type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Preparing for a planetary qualifier/big event. I signed up to play a PQ in October. I play 2 to 3 times a month at my weekly, but otherwise don't have a group of friends to play test with. I can try getting reps with the big decks, but I know this can also change and my time is limited. How would you recommend someone with limited time prepare for a big event?
I think, well, number one, if you're in our Discord, you can look at your regional chat and also some of the other channels and try to like create your own little playtest group, or like use our deck forums to kind of talk about. And so that's kind of the point that I would look into, is like finding other resources to like simulate play. So like one thing you could do is go watch those 1Ks and like pause at certain moments and kind of like quiz yourself on what you do if you have the hand, if you can like see the hand, or even just like kind of like make this mental quiz of like, all right, what would be good here, you know, stuff like that. So like I would say like finding ways to simulate the game through like watching. And then if you can, like, use these community hubs to kind of create your own groups where you talk through things.
I agree. I think coverage is huge to be able to watch games, look at lists, kind of just immerse yourself in the game without necessarily playing. Playing is going to be king. There's no substitute for it, and shuffling and, you know, even playing, like, I think playing real-life games is, like, such... you know, rather than like a webcam, but like, you know, just playing as much as you can. But, you know, real life happens. You can't play as much as you know, sometimes it's just, you can't get the time. And finding a video, doesn't have to be us, but like finding like a tournament or finding like content, and looking at deck lists, and also understanding, here's a big one that I would say is like, we talked about this earlier, but understanding the shifts. Like, don't lock into a deck now for October and be like, I'm going to practice. You can. Like, you can log into, like, listen, I'm really thinking I'm going to play Sabine. I really like Boba Yellow. But understand what the meta is doing behind that. And be like, okay, I'm playing Boba Yellow, but now I need to beat, like, these new blue Han decks or these green Han decks. Or I need to play this bombing run on my sideboard because I'm understanding the meta. And you kind of feel confident when you sit down at a table. And you're going to see one of two things. You're going to see a deck that you expected, which is probably a top deck. Or you're going to see a deck that, like, probably is off the wall that, you know, because you're playing a really solid deck, you're probably just going to smash. Like a, you know, a Fennec Shan deck or something like that. And you can sit down feeling really confident that you're going to beat that.
Yeah, it definitely behooves you to be prepared on more than one deck.
Yeah, but, like, I guess my point is, like, you sit down in October, this guy, NDYSE10, sits down in October, hasn't played that many games, but he's got a list that he's comfortable with because he's paid attention to the way the meta is swinging. And then he sits down round one, or they sit down round one, and plays against Boba Yell. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm ready to rock this out. I understand how this game's going to play out. Or I'm playing against Sabine. Like, I've got my Vigilance Tough Target plan ready to roll. And even if I lose game one, I'm not, like, dented. I kind of know I'm going to lose game one because I understand the meta. And I've got this really solid plan that I know I'm going to win games 2 and 3.
Yeah. Love it.
The point?
Sure.
You go.
No, I see. The only thing I was going to add is that, you know, being in, you know, you find a community that's competitive based. Like, I think, you know, obviously this person's in our Discord, like we're providing lists, we're providing testing. And then like, you've got 1,000 other people in there who are also doing the same within their groups. And just like, you do have this shortcut, like the, you know, these sites like ours and others are built to like, give you the answers because you don't have the time to practice, or at least some answers.
If you can record your own games too, like at your local on those times, and then watch back that tape, that's even better. Like, that's another good one. Just wanted to point that out.
All right, now that we've had some set two tournaments, if you could change or ban any card to make the game better, what would you do? Examples: ban resupply, change leaderboard, but a six, blah, blah, blah. This is TSKI8825. I don't like these questions. Like, I don't care about this stuff, but I didn't know if you guys did. And I thought it would be a good opportunity because I get this question a lot. Like, what would you change? What would you ban? That's not how I think about the game at all. Like, I just play the game. If I wanted to make my own game, I'd make my own game, or I'd change the rules. But I don't see anything problematic to the point where, like, we even need to think about bans.
No, I think I mentioned on a previous pod, like, restock, but the restock, like, mirrors haven't popped up much in set to control, sort of figuring things out in other ways. You know, if every game was going to, like, mill restock mirrors, that's the one card that I was sort of looking at.
Yeah.
But I agree with Mike. Play the game as it is. You know, ramp cards are fine. Boba is what he is. I'd say, like, the leaders are certainly, like, there's some leaders that are stronger than others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if there was some way to sort of restructure that in retrospect of, like, getting some leaders that see less play. Like, an IG-88 is just never going to be played competitively. And
yeah,
having more of that opportunity. And maybe, like, there's, you know, you think about, like, the old Decipher game. Like, they came out with helpers for QMC and Hoth, like, in like, an Episode 1 expansion set because those decks were just not as strong.
Right.
But maybe we'll see, like, an IG-88, like, an actual IG-88 helper. Like, the same way we see, like, Mace is in set one, but there's not that many Episode 1 cards in set one. There's a couple cards like that. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to see, like an IG-88 helper to, like, sort of retroactively change things to be more powerful. But I don't think there's anything right now where I'm like, oh, man, ban Overwhelming Barrage because it's too good.
Honestly, he could get better with the Battle Droid thing, like, going wide.
Yeah.
But I yada-yada'd over the important part is that this person wanted to shout out is, like, add a clause on Han 1 to make it, like, Lando leader only to destroy your own resources. Like, do you think the Han DJ thing is a problem? Because I've heard other content creators say, like, they think it's, like, it's the best thing in the game and it's super broken. And it's obviously good, but I don't know.
No,
I was playing Kira and had my resources, like, stolen and blown up, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, cool. I've never cared
about 3-5.
Yeah.
I think the best demonstration that there's not a problem or that's not broken is whenever we do these meta recaps, it feels like we're always talking about a different deck.
Yeah.
And there's different, like, while Boba is always around and Sabine's always around, but, like, this week it was all, like, Hans in the top decks. Before, it was the other Han, Han 1.0. And, like, yeah. I feel like every time we do meta recaps, we're always focusing on a different deck or, like, being like, oh, I'm surprised that many of those showed up. Like, the fact that that's constantly changing and evolving is probably a good sign that nothing really is wrong. I mean, on a personal level, I'd love to ban a few of you. So if I ever go to a 1K or a local in Massachusetts, I can actually win something. But that's
all you have to do is
level.
Play a little bit. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, there was, you know, I think a Han Yellow top forward, the Wisco 1K. But other than that, we didn't see a lot of Han 1 this weekend. So. Maybe some people were right to not be so high on that deck. I don't know.
Can I just say one quick thing? I know it's going long, but I want to talk to you. I like to talk about this stuff. I think that I agree, no bannings, but, like, along the lines of the seeing more leaders, I feel like six deploy leaders are kind of, like, inherently weak, like, based off of the stats that come out. Like, Han 1 is probably the most prevalent six drop leader that I can think of, and that's because he can cheat himself on five. We're really seeing, like, 4 and 5 drop leaders or, like, 8 drop leaders that have, like, superpower. I think that from a balance perspective, I think 6 is in a tough spot, and I want to keep an eye on that. Like, Cad Bane's not getting played, Mando units not getting played, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Six cost leaders have been kind of mopey.
Yeah.
All right, long one. But the long and short of this is is there a best way to cut your opponent's deck? Do you cut it? Do you shuffle it? Is there a difference? What do you do here? How do you guys do it? I know, like, at a casual event, I just cut. Or, like, if it's a local, I pretty much just knock the top and don't even cut. But if it was a real event, like when I played Destiny and I went to big events, I shuffled. And when I played Magic, I shuffled.
Shuffle for sure. So, I mean, I agree, Mike. At, like, the very most casual event, right, your local game store, You know, tap every cut, tap. Anything competitive, shuffle. It can be your like teammate. It can be the guy that like everyone's like, oh yeah, this person is the nicest guy in the community. Always shuffle. Always shuffle. Shout out to
Aaron. I always cut, but I'm just lazy.
Yeah, I should do a video on how you should how you should shuffle your opponent's deck. Actually, that should be. I will do that before the PQ season.
How do you?
And I do. I'll tell you one thing.
What pile shuffles that?
Just as sort of a point, like shuffle. Don't look at their deck as you're shuffling. Yeah. Like head away. Like turn to the left when you're shuffling on the right. Mike's going to demo right there.
I already got him beat.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. Sort of hot. You know, look at the ceiling to the left side. Make sure that they're not
your own deck too. So your
oh my god, I'd drop cards if I did that.
And actually, yeah. Maddie, one correction there is you should be looking at your opponent when they're handling your deck, and sort of at the side, like doing like the thing.
Yeah.
And you know, people have there's a whole bunch of videos about people cheating online, and yeah, I just shuffle. There's nothing wrong with shuffling.
Side.
You
swipes.
Have a pile shuffle to also count in your opponent's deck.
Yeah, I used to do that in Magic. There was no
move away from that.
Yeah, I guess we could do that. I guess you would want to know how many cards are in your opponent's deck. They might, if you're playing a control matchup.
They definitely want to know if they're playing 51.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about this game is like you could add your whole sideboard and just play 60 for game two. I think, right? You don't have to have the
that's wild.
I'm pretty sure that's how you can do it. I have to double check. Yeah, I haven't thought about that in a while. Sure. But like if I was playing control and I might mill them, did they board in more? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, that's how we would do it, and I'll probably do a video on how to shuffle your opponent's deck. All right, last one. Chris Tott. At my locals, I observe some players playing every game to completion, sometimes resulting in double game losses, but in tournament coverage, games will often end earlier when it's clear who will win. This reminded me of resigning in chess. I was curious, what are the standards of expectations of that in SWU?
I don't think there's any expectations, but I think like it's smart in like a game, like if you're in a control mirror and you're like super lost in game two and you won game one, like I think that's an acceptable time. Or I'm not as in favor of scooping game one, but if it's super lost and you're worried about time, I think those are reasonable things. And then if you've completely lost the game, that's just like a personal thing. Like if you really truly 100% know there's no way you can come back in the game, then I think there's no problem scooping, but you need to like very much know it.
Yeah, I don't want to throw away like a point and a half, you know, 1.5% to win. But if I know that's astronomically low, I'm just fine conceding and moving on to the next game. Even if it's game three, like if I can't win game three and it's lost, like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not too often your opponent's gonna like forget to attack, you know. It's not like you know, when you play Magic Arena and the person might like disconnect or accidentally click through their turn, you know. We don't have that option. Like the person's
A good mental exercise sometimes is like draw any card in your deck and then draw any other card in your deck and do that for like three turns in a row. And if you still can't win, and if they had drawn zero cards and you still can't win, just pack it up.
Yeah.
Think about think about what your outs are. If you have them, great. If not, like you said, just pick them up, move on to the next game. At least that's my theory. Yeah.
At Gen Con in the play-in match game one, I scooped game one to Mike from Unplayable because I just like literally I was like, okay, if I draw Vigilance here, I can stall him out, but then I can't advance and he's going to beat me. And I did it, and I stalled out the first turn, and then I drew another one the next turn, and I just conceded. I was like,
what am I doing?
He's just going to kill me in two turns. Yeah, exactly. And then I already mentioned it, but there was a game where I should have scooped earlier, and ended up going to time. Because I mulliganed into like a terrible situation and I passed like for the first five or six turns. Like that's one where I should have identified sooner. Like I was going to run up against time and I won game one. And I probably should have scooped it up. But that's more strategic than like, you know, the expectations.
Cool. Well, that's all we got for today. Obviously talked about a lot. You guys have anything else you want to shout out before we sign off?
No, excited for this season to start in the fall. We're getting closer and closer to the planetary qualifiers. It'll be exciting as we get ready to prep it, you know, to prep for them. They see, like, the deck list coming in. It's going to be an exciting fall for SWU.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah. I'm excited
Only thing I'd like to close on is say, you know, just a reminder, we are doing the giveaway for the mat. Sign up for, if you're not already signed up, sign up. I mean, at worst case, you get a $5 raffle ticket for a pretty sweet play mat, and maybe you find something in the Discord that you like over the next month, and you do find some additional value there.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks for checking us out, and we'll see you in 2 weeks with the next episode.
Booyah.
GG's.
Later, boys.